You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
The Burt Show.
Man, it's a big day coming up for Jackson. You only get one shot at this, bro. One shot.
Pressure's on.
Yep.
Pressure is on. So I have a very exciting milestone that I'm hitting on this engagement journey that I'm on. And that is asking the old parents for their blessing.
Aww.
I know. It's a big deal, right?
It is a big deal. And sure. You know, just as a sidebar here for just one second, I did not do this with Stacy's parents and I regretted it. I just felt like, I don't know, man. I just felt like, why am I doing this? Because I'm going to do it anyway. So if they say no, it just doesn't even seem authentic. It seems disingenuous. So I didn't. And years later, her dad had said to me, or maybe Stacy said to me, I can't quite recall that, you know, he had one daughter. He had one daughter, and he's only going to have one shot at this. Well, it turns out he's going to have another shot.
Little did he know.
I'm hoping he's got another shot. But I did regret that I didn't.
I mean, I'm very much looking forward to this. It's kind of like that stamp and seal of approval that you need to do before, you know, you pop the old question. And while I haven't made much headway in the ring department, that's a work in progress right now.
That's kind of important.
That's kind of the bigger piece of the puzzle. This is also, you know, a big deal. And so her parents are coming to visit in a couple weeks and they're coming to stay for the weekend. And I figured this is like the perfect time to do this. And I think I'm nervous, not because I think they're going to say no, but it's more, one, how do I go about doing it in a respectful way? Is it something where I, like, ask them out for breakfast or, like, for coffee? My girlfriend obviously shouldn't be there. Like, do I need to secretly do this and pull them aside?
You definitely got to secretly do this. Like, I feel like that's the one rule. Like, obviously, other than, like, getting both the parents together and asking them, I do feel like that's the respectful thing to do now is to ask the mom and the dad. But my brother recently did this, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say what he did, but I know he did ask for permission. But I think he took them out for a meal and basically just had that conversation and said, listen, you know where this is going. You know that we're going to get married. I know we're going to do it anyway, but I think it's more of a respect thing that you're just doing it. And you're having that conversation that they're going to respect no matter what you say, they're going to be happy that you're even taking their feelings into consideration.
Is there a tweak of the definition? You're saying permission. I'm feeling like blessing feels different.
Right. I'm going with blessing for sure. Because I think with permission seems like a weird ass. Like, we're adults. We're making this decision on our own. This is something that we've obviously thought through. I don't necessarily need their permission and their yes. I would just love their approval, basically, and their blessing, you know? And the other part of this is I'm trying to figure out the best way for me to convey to them that from that point on, once we actually make this next step in sort of our relationship journey of being married, that they no longer necessarily need to worry about her anymore. Not to say that she's not an adult and can take care of herself, but it's more that, like, I'm also there as a, like, full on, you know, other half of someone who is going to be able to take care of her. Does that make sense?
Somewhat.
Yeah, so I think you got to show that. I see what you're saying. And so you're just saying, like, hey, I'm an equal partner to your daughter. Like, if she's going through tough times, I got her back. Y'all don't have to be the safety net anymore. I'm the safety net.
Exactly,
now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I think to do that, then I would, if I were you, when they're coming to visit, I would prepare a meal. Like, you cook the meal, you mix the cocktails. If you want to show that you can take care of her, then you got to step up like that. And then I would arrange for your girlfriend's friends to take her out for drinks. And then you, like, have a prepared meal, or you can take them out to a restaurant if you really wanted to with her parents and ask, or even cocktails. Maybe you do a mixology thing and you make them really nice cocktails, find out what their favorites are. Then your girlfriend comes back from her drinks. But while she's gone, you ask her parents for their blessing.
I think that's actually brilliant, because you can actually cook And so, like, if you, I think that's a part of you saying, like, right? Like, I don't think you actually say, like, I got it from here. I know that's what, not what you're trying to yeah. say, but, yeah. but, like, you find a different way to say that. You know, like, I love your daughter as much as you love your daughter, and she's good. And I think that's a part of it. Like, show them what your daughter is getting by marrying you. And mm-hmm. I think that's a great way to do it in asking for their blessing.
You know, I see. We don't have time right here, but in a couple of minutes when we come back, this would be way more fun. Worst case scenario. So you go to them and you ask for her hand in marriage, right? And they go, no, nah, I don't think it's going to work, man. We're really not into it. I would like to take calls from people that have had their men have that happen to.
Oh, can you imagine God. If you had a restaurant? Like, well, you got to finish this meal.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey, The Bird Show.
You have fallen in love and it is beautiful. It's just so right. You're so compatible. You just want to, can't wait to start your life with this person. But you have to go through pops first.
It's like going through that one bridge troll who's like, give me a riddle. Oh, you shall not pass.
So if you weren't listening a couple of seconds ago, we'll bring our producer Jackson back on just to tell you that he's about to go to his girlfriend's dad and say, hey, you know what? I'd like your blessing on this whole relationship marriage thing because I want to marry your daughter. So let's just play worst case scenario here. Is there anybody listening who has a significant other, or you've been the father-in-law or the dad? Your significant other goes to your dad and says, hey, I want to spend the rest of my life with the most amazing woman on the planet, your daughter. And your parents went, no, we just don't think it's a good idea. Nope. How did you handle that? How did it go? 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Is there any fear that that could happen?
No, but I feel like you're trying to plant that in my head. And that's like, going to happen.
There's one sentence on that.
No.
Knowing what you know about her parents, what do you think worst case scenario is for you? Like, maybe they give you the blessing, but if it is going to go awry, like, in what way would that happen?
I think if there was a lack of enthusiasm, I would read way too deeply into that and spiral kind of out of control. So, but I can't imagine that happening. But I would need there to be, like, an excitement level from them.
Worst case scenario would definitely be them asking you how much. For you to disappear.
I can't be bought.
I would love to hear these scenarios if they exist, man. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Hey, Jeff, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you for calling. Okay, were you the one that got turned down?
No, I was the future father-in-law.
Ooh. Oh. All right. All right. I'll paint a beautiful picture for us.
All right. This guy wanted... He wanted to spend his life with my daughter, and I didn't see it happening. And they dated for a while, and then, let's say they got close and all that, and things were looking good from their perspective. And my wife was like, oh, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. It's all worked out fine. And they came to the house for the weekend, and which they had on several times. And then my wife and my daughter decided to go take a walk at like at 10 o'clock at night on a summer night and left me at the house with this kid. Jackson, I am that worst nightmare.
I can hear it.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
So he's looking at me. You know, I'm sitting there reading a book or something. He looks already. I hear this. Excuse me, sir. I'm like, okay, I know where this is going, you know. And so he asks, he pops the question like, you know, a traditional question. And I looked at him and I said, I'll tell you what, let me think about it. And that was on Friday night. I let them squirm until Sunday. And then finally, on Sunday afternoon, he and I took a walk. And I said, hey, let me tell you this. Let's pencil it in. Don't ink it in, but pencil it in. Let me tell you what I want from a son-in-law. And I just started discussing with him what I expected him to do because he, like you, Jackson, he didn't come out and say, I'm here to protect your daughter. I'm here to be here for your daughter. He was just asking the question because he thought he should.
Okay.
So like I said, we had a heart-to-heart talk. They got, we said, okay, you know, he came up with some decent examples of what he thought he could do. Like I said, we said, okay, we had the marriage. It lasted 2 years, and he said goodbye.
Wow. So you knew in your gut that this thing wasn't going to last?
And never in my life have I said, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
But there it is.
Until right now. Until right now, publicly in front of dozens of listeners.
Got that moment.
All right, so if you were going to give Jackson some advice going into the weekend, even though it really does appear that it's going to be fine, but the presentation really is what he's more worried about than anything else, what is your advice?
Well, I say just be yourself. Be yourself and tell him that you love her and tell him, why you're there. Like Mo was saying earlier, that show them what you can do for their daughter and take that burden off of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that. I guess there needs to be a level of sincerity involved and not just the formality of the ask.
Yeah, if you have to plan your sincerity, it's not going to go well.
Exactly.
All right, Jeff, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Normally, I would say that advice also, be yourself, but knowing you, I'd say try something else.
Or an ask.
Hey, Darren, good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good. Is it Darian?
Yeah.
All right. What's going on, man?
So actually, my dad knew my father-in-law before my mom did. My dad knew his father-in-law before my mom did. Mm-hmm. And when they had finally met, my grandfather actually told him no before he even had a chance to ask.
Wow.
Before you even get to it.
He was like, no, you will not marry my daughter.
So this guy says something like, hey, I've got a question to run by you. And even before he gets that out, he's like, don't. Just don't.
No, they started dating, and he's like, yeah, you will not marry my daughter.
Oh,
wow.
Just making that clear. You got ahead of that one.
Too bad.
He was getting ahead of it. So he ends up going, and they get married anyway. Did the marriage, and is it did it last?
Yeah, they're still together.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Gramps was wrong.
Stuck it out.
Okay. All right, cool. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, so you got that going for you.
Yeah, that's something.
Good morning, Dalton. Dalton, you're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
So I am a friend of the dads who got rejected.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend's boyfriend came to the house. I was over the house chilling with the dad because I didn't really grow up with a dad. Dad became my dad. So it was a nice little Sunday morning on a Sunday morning, and they came in, right? The dude came in and he wanted to say, hey, can I speak to you privately? And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go ahead and let you guys do your thing. So I just go into the other room, but he says, actually, Dalton, come here. Because I guess he had already tried to ask the question. So he said, Dalton, come here. So he was like, go ahead and tell me what you just asked me. He tried to talk the question. And I was like, okay, well, go ahead. So the dad goes, let me see if you got it with the tapes, right? So... I say about maybe 2 hours later, he made the boyfriend sing a song in front of the whole family.
Stop playing.
This dude's making it tough, man.
And honestly, and I'm going to tell you what, Mo, you might relate to this.
Mm-hmm.
He was an outcast. You want to know what outcast song he made him sing?
Which one?
It was from The Love Below. You made him play Happy Valentine's Day.
Nah.
What is it about that song?
You made him sing.
Is because if you would be embarrassed trying to sing that unless you really like that. And I'm assuming that was the dad's purpose to embarrass him.
Exactly.
That's funny. That's funny. I wonder if the dad would have respected it more if he just said, no, I'm not doing that.
Probably so. I mean, because the dad, I'm the friend, so he cool with me. But I don't know. Maybe he just didn't like the boyfriend or whatever it is. I mean, I would say like the dad has caught the boyfriend doing like some shady stuff, not illegal, but just some shady stuff going on with him and his daughter. But but me and the daughter, we've been friends ever since like grade school. So
how did it all play out?
Dude broke up with her 2 months later.
Oh, come on. This ain't worth it.
Dad got what he wanted, yeah, man.
Yeah,
Dad
totally got what he wanted.
All right, appreciate you calling. Thank you.
That's funny.
Yes, sir.
Hey, The Burt Show.
All right, so if you live here in Atlanta, this is going to resonate with you so much right here. All right, it is, Kristen found this. It's about Atlanta, but it's also about the airport and Alpharetta, and it is going to hit so hard for some of you guys here.
Alpharetta here in between Athens and Atlanta. Nice little spot for a comedy club, you know. We'll split it with Athens over there, but good thing about this comedy club is it's real close to the airport, which I appreciate. I took a $65 United flight and a $72 Uber, so it's not a big deal, man, you know. One of those transportation left the ground, the other one didn't. Did you know that? It cost me more to get here from Atlanta than it did from New York City to Atlanta. Insane. I mean, when Uber drivers pick people up headed to Alpharetta at the Atlanta airport, you cannot wipe the grin off of their face. No, it's the last ride of their day. Alpharetta, I'm gonna drop you off and I'm going home, man. The price of your ride is my target for the day. I was trying to do $92, and that's what we've got you pegged for, Bubba. So anyways, I fly out on Sunday, but I'm going to leave Saturday morning in case we hit track. I don't know how they built an airport that's an hour from everything. It's an hour. No, y'all do the math on it. It's an hour. All my friends that live in, I said, well, if you live an hour away and he lives an hour away and they live in it, it's an hour from everything. How'd they do that, man? That's unbelievable. The closest thing to the Atlanta airport might be Noonan. That doesn't make any sense.
That is so true.
That is hilarious. That is all facts.
That is a comedian Derek Stroud. So true, right? Hits me hard. All right, time for ye old gossip.
Yes, we celebrated Cinco de Mayo this week, which you probably heard on the show that Cinco de Mayo is not Mexican Independence Day. But actually, even Mexico Independence Day is actually the start of decades and decades of battles and wars. So really, what happened after Cinco de Mayo and how did Mexico finally get independence?
Instagram baddies and crypto bros for the most salacious gossip in the whole village. Abby's done the work to bring you the old gossip.
So Mexico actually had a European ruler right before they became self-governing. And have you ever met someone who took a job that they were wildly unqualified for? Like, sure, I took one semester of Spanish. Why don't I just go work in Mexico? So that's Maximilian, the Archduke of Austria. He was history's most confident intern, aka the final European ruler of Mexico before they became self-governing. But before we get to Max, let's back up and let's talk about Cinco de Mayo, because again, a lot of people think it's Mexico Independence Day and it's not. That's actually September 16th in 1810 when all of these battles started. So Cinco de Mayo is kind of like if the U.S. threw a national rager for the War of 1812. It's literally the anniversary of a single battle. So back in 1862, the French decided to invade Mexico because Napoleon III wanted to collect some debts, but he was also in the mood for a little colonization, a little sweet treat for him, if you will. So the French march in, and they're already so full of themselves. They are ready to steamroll through Mexico, and they reach the town of Puebla. And on May 5th, the Mexican army, very much outnumbered, pull off an absolute underdog win. So Cinco de Mayo is that victory. It's not about tequila, it's not about tacos. It is about Mexico telling France, not today, baguette boy. So here's the thing. That victory didn't end at the war. France came back like a bad rash and retook control of Mexico City, which brings us to Maximilian. So Napoleon III decides, you know, ruling Mexico seems like a lot of work, so why don't we get a bored royal who's got nothing to do to handle this? So he calls up our man Maximilian, who's an Austrian royal, with the energy of that substitute teacher character you see in movies about inner city kids who just wants to make a difference. Maximilian's like, this is my chance! And he gets crowned in 1864, which is 2 years after Cinco de Mayo, which should have been a tip off that maybe this was a bad idea. It's kind of like finding out that job you applied for laid off half their team a few years prior, but you think things will be different this time for you. Maximilian is out here giving speeches. He's growing a beard. He's making laws. And to be fair, he's got some good ideas. Like, you know, he got rid of child labor. That's good. He supported land reform, even backed indigenous rights. But the problem is, no one asked for him to be there. It's kind of like crashing someone's house party and then reorganizing their fridge. Like, I brought buffalo chicken dip. Also, I'm your new dad now. Meanwhile, Benito Juarez, the actual president of Mexico, is like kind of mad about this whole not being in power thing. So the U.S. now actually has some free time on its hands because it just wrapped up this little thing called the Civil War and is like, colonialism is only cool when we do it, and decides to start helping out El Presidente Juarez. So France, they start panicking because the U.S., kind of a big deal, and they're like, let's blow this popsicle stand, a.k.a. let's get out of Mexico. And Maximilian is like, hey, guys, what happened to everyone? Where is everyone? I thought we were in this together. So he decides to stay and make it work. And in 1867, Juarez's forces capture him. They give him a trial, which is a very considerate thing to do, considering the whole colonizing thing. And then they execute him, because that's what happens when you swoop in and declare yourself head honcho. You don't get a severance package. You get a firing squad. So long story short, Mexico's fight to be self-governing didn't end at Cinco de Mayo or even Mexican Independence Day. It had to defeat the final boss of being an overconfident white man who thought he deserved to be in power because, you know, he could be. And the moral of the story here is colonialism bad, margaritas good.
Amen to that.
Amen to that.
All right, since we're on history here, it's happening this morning, and I want it so badly for my kids. So the process of picking the next pope starts in just a few hours. My son is deeply religious, Catholic, right? And a year ago, he and his school have planned this trip to Rome to be at the Vatican. It just so happens that they are going to be in Rome on the 15th. All right, now today is the 7th, right? Mm-hmm. So they are starting the process of picking the pope, and I want this so much for him. To be in the Vatican and to be in Rome for when they choose a pope is a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Yeah.
I want it so badly for him.
That would be amazing.
So I need these cardinals to chill out a little bit. So I was just reading this morning, how long does it usually take to pick a pope? There is like no real way of knowing. Sometimes it happens in a day. Sometimes in history, it has taken 3 years.
Wow.
Way back in the day also. They're not exactly sure who the next pope is going to be. There is no favorite. And I only know this because I'm reading it all this morning because I'm so invested with him being there. And they're staying in a hotel that sort of overlooks the Sistine Chapel also.
Wow.
So he will be seeing the smoke come up each and every morning, either black or white, when he wakes up in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Does it happen at a specific time every day or just whenever?
Gosh, I wish I knew.
Maybe like sunrise or something. That feels special.
I don't know. So wow. Here's how it all works, right? So, and I'm reading. Church rules require 2/3 of the eligible cardinals to agree on the pick, which means the new pope has to earn 89 votes. As I said, back in the 13th century, it took nearly 3 years. Others took just one day. Pope Francis, the pope that just passed away, was elected on the second day and the fifth ballot.
Oh, wow.
So there's just really no way of knowing at all.
You would think that there's probably someone who's been gunning for it for a while. Like the second you get that diagnosis from the original pope, like, oh, he's on his way out. And then you start going around, passing around your business cards like, hey, don't you think I should be the right hand of God on earth?
Yeah, like how do they do that? How do you sell yourself or tell your story for people to vote on you? You don't even know that part of the process either?
I don't know. I know that it's very political. And I just watched this movie, The Two Popes. Again, just getting so into this for my son because I want it so badly. But I'm not sure if they're just well-known within their own community. I don't think they have PR firms or anything like that that are jockeying like for an Academy Award.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure.
It's one of those things that you feel like would backfire if you start gunning for yourself. Like, I feel like the Pope is supposed to be very humble. So if you walk around being like, I think I should do it.
Yeah,
you think people would be like, no, not,
right.
Not you.
They are all sequestered. Like all of them, they don't have any connection with the outside world at all. So they're hanging out in this one place. They're not allowed to leave. They're not allowed to check the internet. Not nothing. So we won't know anything, but it all starts this morning.
I hope it works out for them.
The Burt Show. Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Tommy says what's ever on the schedule, stop. Stop! This is big.
What's big?
Looks very big.
He looks very pensive. Yeah.
I'm rethinking this, but I think it'll feel good to finally say it out loud.
Oh, no.
To Bert. And to you guys.
Are you quitting?
No.
I definitely thought that's what we were doing.
Right.
1,000%.
I totally thought you were quitting.
I'm like, we're going to do this on the air?
Yeah, because I swear I have not said a word to Bert about this. But it may come to that. But I don't know. So back in October, 7 months ago, I had an epiphany. You know, it may be in. I don't think I'll ever retire, but I'm getting closer to that age.
Of death?
Yes.
Are you telling us today you're dying?
No.
Oh, my God. What the hell? Okay. This took a turn. Let the man speak.
Is it happening during prime time? Because that's almost over.
So I was thinking, you know, we work for these things. I've got a lot of stuff. I've got a nice big house, got nice cars. Got my nice NC State basement. And I'm like, we work hard to get all this stuff. And I would say 90% of the stuff, I don't even touch. Like it's wasted stuff. It's like I'm just getting stuff to have stuff.
Yeah.
And I had this epiphany.
You want to sell it to me?
In October. And it all started with Cassie and some trees falling on her house. Cassie had these trees, 5 trees, fall in her house. Mm-hmm. And since then, she hasn't been able to live in the house. She bought a huge, sweet RV. I mean, this RV is Mac Daddy is RV.
It's a nice one.
Yeah, you really haven't described it, I don't think, much to us. Because I have the vision in my head is like this little RV that attaches to the back of a truck, and you guys are all shoulder to shoulder in it.
It's
big.
It's like a 30 footer. We decided to get a nicer one because it was going to be our full time home. So I mean, we have a bedroom with a queen size bed. I mean, there's not a lot when I say bedroom, but there's not a lot of walking room. But there's closet space in a bedroom, and then a main living area. There's a bathroom with a door and a shower, and the kitchen living area has an island and has mm-hmm. a 5-seater couch. Couch, and then the kids have like a bunkhouse kind of thing.
She's got a fireplace.
Yeah, there's a fireplace.
Okay, but still, at the end of the day, you said it's a 30 footer. I mean, at least for me, it would be, it doesn't matter if it's 30 feet or 45 feet. If you've got 4 people living in an RV, mm-hmm. those walls are going to start to crash down on you a little bit at some point.
Yeah, for sure. It's way smaller than a house, but it's also not like we're just living in like a 1-room tin can. It feels doable.
So on this particular day in October, I started thinking about Cassie and her situation in the RV. And I have never wanted an RV, never had that bug to travel. But all of a sudden it hit me, you know, time's ticking. And Renee and I haven't traveled a lot around even the States, much less the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, what if we got an RV now? I started doing some figuring in my head. And I'm like, what if we got an RV now and we just traveled the earth?
The earth.
And,
you're going to have a hard time getting from, like, let's say New York to London.
Yeah, but you can rent. I've seen videos. People, like in Iceland, touring in RVs. You can tour in RVs.
I don't think they bring
the
them to Iceland. No, I think they rent them there.
They rent them, but these are people who do it full time.
Yeah, sure.
So that day, I called our friend, former radio guy, Jimmy Barron,
yeah.
our realtor, Bert. He's realtied for you.
He
for
loves
me,
when I call him.
Sold me my house.
Yeah, he's done it for all of us.
He's the best, man.
And so I reached out to Jimmy and I said, hey, man, what if I sell my house and go full-time RV? And he's like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah. And this is before I even tell Renee. So I tell Renee and she's like, at first she was like, wow, because she went to Yellowstone, had this spiritual experience. I'm like, well, that could be like all the time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I thought that would be like a big selling point. And she seemed at first to be onto it. But then she pulled, because I booked Jimmy to come to the house and tell us what to do to the house, to sell it and do all that.
Yeah.
And she pumped the brakes really quickly she on did. That. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She slammed the brakes. I went through the windshield.
So was she at first enthusiastic, and then when it became reality, she's like, I don't know.
I think it was shock.
She's got her job, too.
Yes. I think it's shock enthusiasm. But the thing about her job is she can work from anywhere as long as she's got internet. And you can do that from the road. So she put the stop on Jimmy coming out to the house. So we did not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ready to sell everything, buy an RV, buy something to pull it, and go and do it.
Yeah.
And so, but she pumped the brakes and we decided she wanted to take baby steps. She didn't want to fly the plane and build it at the same time. She wanted to learn how to RV. I was ready to nosedive into it.
Such a guy-woman thing right here, man. Let's go today. So we're doing it.
Yep. We bought a 20-foot travel trailer, and we've been taking that out about once a month since December.
Little RV starter kit?
Yes.
Okay.
And we've started doing it, and I'm like nose deep in researching this stuff. I'm following people that do it full time. I know so much about RVing now that I didn't know.
There's a whole culture.
Seven months ago,
there's a movie about it that was like an Academy Award winning movie or won Cannes or something. There's a whole community of people.
Oh, Nomad.
Is that it? Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I thought it was that Robin Williams movie RV. I was like, that one?
No.
It was Frances McDormand that played in Fargo years ago. But that's where we're at. We're trying to figure out, and I'm pushing Renee every day, and she's kind of keeping me at, you know, two arms length, trying to figure out how to do it. But
is it impossible to do both, live in the house, but also have the RV and jet whenever you guys want to go?
Yeah, financially it is.
It is.
Yeah.
So it's one or the other.
It's one or the other.
Wow. That's a big decision.
Cassie, what advice can you give him about, I mean, really fully committing to that?
I think it sounds awesome, honestly. Like, I think if you can do a weekend in an RV and you don't feel claustrophobic or even a week, it's not easy to adapt to, but it is adaptable. You just kind of have to shift your mindset and be like, okay, we don't need a lot of materials. And I think once you realize you don't need half the stuff you have, and you're out, your space becomes the rest of the world and outside. And then on rainy days, you can cozy up, especially if it's just two people. I think it would be incredible. I mean, that's the dream, to be able to work remotely and like do your job from Yellowstone mm-hmm. or whatever national park. I mean, why wouldn't you?
I'd agree with that. And I want to believe I'm that guy also, but you also have to have a reality check, because it does sound so free to me to be able to go wherever you want. And there is so much to see in this country. I have said this a million times. I love traveling abroad because somehow, some way, it feels exotic and romantic. But in my travels, I realized this country, the United States of America, has everything that the rest of the world has. If you want lakes, we got them here in the United States. You want mountains, you want beaches, you want rivers. We got it all here. Looks different than it does in the rest of the world, but man, it's pretty kick-ass.
And the thing about full-time RVing is you can chase the good weather.
Yeah.
We mm-hmm. could chase being in 70 degrees year-round. We don't have to live in cold weather.
I think the thing that would freak me out, though, is if I knew that was the only place that I have as a home, that would make me feel very confined. Like if I knew I could do it when I wanted to do it.
Yeah. Renee wants a lock and leave. So like get a small place and try. And maybe we could do that. But I'm just like, we don't need it. But she feels like we need a touchdown space to come back mm-hmm. to. And the other factor is we moved her dad to Georgia. He's 5 miles from us.
Uh-huh.
And he's like in an assisted living, like independent living,
huh?
but she's worried about him too, and how he factors in all this. And
I think once you, like, if you really sit down and feel like you can pull it off, I wouldn't even hesitate. I mean, even in
all talking, right, I'll see y'all later.
Like, genuinely, in talking to Mother Nature, the girl that I've been talking to about who lives out of a car for the last 5 years, like, right. When she speaks to the freedom she has and she experiences, and, you know, she was scared at first, she was hesitant at first, she doesn't regret it, she's never looked back, she can't see herself not living that way again, and just the way that she talks about the freedom of being able to be wherever she wants, whenever she wants, I don't know if I could do it, but if I felt like I could, I would love to live that way.
I wonder if the cost of quote-unquote total freedom is also giving up roots. Like, I wonder if you're constantly on the move, how would it feel to not have, like, a stable community in one place? Or are you just ready to, like, screw everyone and say bye?
I mean, my community is a pretty tight circle. And most of what I consider my closest community are all my friends back home in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a few people here that are that I'm close to. But I would consider those people that basically I grew up with are still the guys that I was best friends growing up with, and in high school and in college are still my best friends to this day.
So my father-in-law retired, sold everything, moved out, and lives full-time out of his RV traveling the country. He has the coolest thing. He does work on national parks. So he does it. And he's like, one day he'll FaceTime us and he's literally on the beach in Texas, right outside his window is the ocean. And the next, it's the most beautiful vista in Montana somewhere. I mean, not the next day, but like the next week. And the thing is, even though you don't have roots in one spot, what happens is like the RV community really gets together. And I know this, we've taken a couple of trips in RV, in our RV, just short ones. But when you go to these spots, some of them are long-term stays. So it's people helping each other out, giving each other firewood. Some people stay so long they set up Christmas lights.
True and, community.
Yeah, and they just hang out. And so that's the beautiful thing is you can decide like, okay, I want to go to North Carolina. We're going to stay for 3 months. We're going to stay the whole summer or 6 months. Or some people are like, yeah, one and done. I'm a week and I'm on to the next place.
Yeah, it's a big community. And, you know, I'd love to get out and meet people all over America.
Andrea, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. You're living this.
My in-laws, actually, 2 years ago, they sold their home, and now they are in a travel van. And so they go all over the United States. But I will say, your wife, like, she has genuine concerns. They need a home base. So, like, doctor's appointment and where they, like, go for all of their medications and things like that and all of their appointments. Any type of, like, emergency where they have to get back, like, actual family, that's where it starts to get a little bit rocky for them.
The reality.
I just wish that, like, she had a place to call home.
And that's what I'm looking into, actually. I'm actually taking a course online.
Are you really?
For this. It's a husband and wife. They're named Barry and Darlene.
Of course it is. Barry and Darlene. I'll show you how to drive across country in the RV.
They sound nothing like that. They have been doing it for 3 years, and now they've set up an online class. I mean, they're basically doing what I've started to do, like YouTube videos and just diving deep in all this stuff. And they're like a one-stop shop for all the information. I've even thought about there's a school in Texas that you could go to and get certified, like in how to, you know, maintain and fix RVs. I've even thought about
I see those things on the road all the time. I'm like, I would never be able to get that thing around a corner. I can't even park my truck in my garage without ripping the roof off of it. No chance.
The Burt Show. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.